of Genesis every night, but God has brought me back to what I'm learning and going over it myself in the Word of God. And so here we are back in Genesis and the life of Abraham. I guess we were in, what, 22? So we're going backwards. We're back to chapter 18. And this is that situation right before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember how the Lord met with Abraham there in his tent. And first, they had a conversation about the promise and that Isaac was on the way. And Sarah laughed about it and all that took place. But God kept his word and God was faithful. But then the story goes into this discussion between Abraham and God over the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham spoke to the Lord time after time to bring his prayer before God and his request there. So I would like to spend some time thinking about that portion of chapter 18 tonight in our service here. I would like to speak a message entitled, Prayer That Makes a Difference. Prayer That Makes a Difference. Let's go ahead and pray, please. God, I ask that you would take this message and use it. Lord, I pray that I would be resting in you and your strength right now. I pray that you would take human confidence away and that I would depend only on your spirit right now. Lord, I can't preach this message. You need to. I pray that you would take control and use these words in whatever way is needed in our hearts, that you would draw us together as a family, that you would unify us around the work that you want us to accomplish. And I pray that we would take this message, simple as it may be, but that you would use it in a profound way tonight. I ask for that for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I'd like us to learn some things about what our prayers need to be. We need to be praying for Saturday. We need to be praying for these flyers that are going out. You say, pray for some pieces of paper? Absolutely. We need to be praying for those pieces of paper as they hang on the door and as they sit on the chest of drawers or as they are hanging by the magnet on the refrigerator where it was placed hastily after we left it. We need to be praying for those pieces of paper that attention is drawn to them. That God uses them, that God prepares hearts for Saturday, for the special meal that we have planned. And so I would like us to consider our prayers tonight, and I would like us to be unified in our prayers around this thing coming up on Saturday, and these flyers that we are sending out. And I believe prayer will make a difference in this event and in this endeavor that we have as a church right now this weekend. Prayer that makes a difference. Here in this passage, we see Abraham praying before the Lord. Now, I use that word in a different sense. Here he was having conversation face to face with another person, with the Lord. Not prayer as we would often think of maybe in a prayer closet where you have your knees bended and your hands folded and you're in the woods somewhere. Not prayer like that. He was talking. He was having a conversation here with the Lord, but it was an earnest conversation. It was a request. He was fervent in what he was saying, and he was talking to God. He was praying. He was bringing his needs, his desires before the Lord, And God was listening to it. And I believe there's some things here that we need to notice for our prayers as we join together in this effort that God has led us to do on Saturday. And so let's begin reading in verse 16 of Genesis chapter 18. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. Now, the Lord knew that, right? God knows everything, and he knew the condition of Sodom and Gomorrah, just like the condition of Nineveh, when he said, the cry of Nineveh has come up before me to Jonah. But he was conversing this to the other human he was speaking to Abraham. Abraham was realizing what's taking place here. It says in verse 22, and the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then will I spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. Then he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30. There shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had done, left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. We're speaking about our prayers tonight. Here was a man who was urgently bringing a request before God. He was begging. He was praying before the Lord and saying, 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. What if? And God said, I will not destroy if that is the case. He was bringing his request and his prayer before the Lord. And tonight I want us to see some things that our prayers need to be as we pray for this meal this weekend. First of all, your prayer, my prayer, must be free from sin. Our prayers, number one, must be free from sin. The Bible says here of Abraham in verse, 33, first of all, it says how God was communing with Abraham. Right there at the end of the chapter, the Lord had left his communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. So God was having some special fellowship, close fellowship with Abraham. As we read our Bibles, we understand God doesn't have close fellowship with people who have sin in their lives. That fellowship is hurt. It's hindered. And God here was spending some very special close time with Abraham. No doubt, Abraham was right before God. There was not sin in his life that needed to be gotten right, unconfessed sin that was hindering his fellowship here in this passage. God was communing with Abraham. But also, look over at chapter 18, but verse 16. Verse 16 and the following verses, look at verse 18, I think it is here. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And so God is recounting his promises here. But verse 19, for I know him, he said. He's thinking here, I know that man, Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So God's saying, I'm communing with this man, and I know him. I know his heart. I know that he wants to do what is right, and he is pure before me. Also, if you were to flip back to chapter 15, just flip back there quickly and you'll see verse 6. That's what I had written down here. Verse 6, we see here, again, that passage where Abraham divided the animals and God made that covenant sure with Abraham as he passed down through as a smoking furnace, a burning lamp. And in verse 6, Abraham, it says of him, and he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. So you see, Abraham, by this point, I don't know exactly when Abraham was saved. Maybe it was here, maybe it was before this. As God gave him this promise at some point, he said, I'm going to believe God and what he says. I'm going to believe the Lord. And at some point here, Abraham trusted in the Lord. He was saved. He was forgiven of his sins. And this, that took place. And here, God then viewed him as a righteous person. He was righteous. And so we see this track record that Abraham had. He was a man who God recognized is pure before me. And we mentioned last night, of course, Abraham was not without his faults. But I believe here, as he was communing with the Lord in chapter 18, you can turn back there, here was a man who was right before God. Here was a man who had known sin, confessed before the Lord, things right with other people. This man, in his prayer that he was offering to the Lord that day, he was giving a prayer that was free from sin. What about us? As we are praying for these flyers that are going out, Lord, would you draw attention to that flyer as it sits on the desk once again? Man of the house comes home, help him to see that. Help him to pick it up because I don't recognize that. And help him to look it over. Help him to consider coming. Lord, as that flyer is yet on that porch and maybe the wind blows it away, help it to blow over to the neighbor's porch and them to pick it up. Help them to see it and to consider it. As we pray for those flyers, as we pray for the meal that's coming up on Saturday, we need to be praying prayers that are free from sin. Can we do that? Can we honestly do that before the Lord over the next 24 hours? Will our prayers be free from sin? If not, then we need to get those sins right tonight. At this altar, we need to get them right. And so, are our prayers free from sin? The Bible says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Friends, it's time for great things at Faith Bible Church. Miracles, victories that we've been praying for, and we have to offer prayers to God that are free from sin. Can we do that tonight? The Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Are our prayers free from sin? Maybe something happened at home today, a quarrel in your household, and there's some people that need to make some things right tonight. Then let's do that, because our prayers over the next 24 hours need to be free from sin. Maybe it's something at the job site, and you need to make something right with someone else. Would you be willing to make that phone call this evening and get it so that your prayers are free from sin now? Over the next 24 hours, maybe it's something that you've been doing in secret, something you've been looking at, something you've been watching, and it is filth in the Christian's life. Would you be willing to humble yourself before the Lord and say, God is holy, I am wrong, and I want my prayers to be free from sin, and would you get whatever it is right before God? So, our prayers must be free from sin, as Abraham's prayer was that day. But then also I want you to notice that over the next 24 hours, especially as we gear up for this event on Saturday and as we seek the Lord as a church together for future things, our prayers not only need to be free from sin, but they also need to be frequent. They need to be frequent. I don't quite understand all there is about God and His sovereign plan and the will of man and how our prayers affect all that. I don't understand that. But there is something to a child coming to their father time after time after time again. I know that by experience. Oh boy. They come and they come and they come and they say the same thing time and time again. Daddy, can I have this? Or we want that? Or and it wears on you in a good way. Hopefully, hopefully I respond in a good way. And they just keep coming and they coming because that's all they know to do. They're children. And they come frequently, time after time again. And that's exactly what we see happening here with Abraham. Boy, he was persistent. He just kept coming at the Lord and saying, 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. And God heard him every single time. The amazing thing about our Heavenly Father is God wants to hear us every single time we come. No matter how frequent it is, I would have to say, as a father, I am not to that point. I eventually have my limit, and I say no, or not yet, or whatever. I answer it and put a stop to it and say, don't ask for that again. But our Heavenly Father doesn't do that. He wants us to come to Him frequently, time after time again, until we have an answer. Until we see the power of God work. Until we see the miracle for which we're begging the Lord for. God loves that in His children. And so over the next 24 hours, we need to be praying frequently. Time after time after time. As a family here, taking this thing before the Lord and saying, God, would you please do a mighty work and bring the people to the meal on Saturday? Would you bless those flyers as they are going out? Would you use them? Time after time, let's be frequently taking this before the Lord. Abraham here had an urgency in his prayer. And he kept bringing this before God. And friends, we must do the same thing in our prayer. Would you do that? Is five times every hour too much? No. Can you do five times every hour over the next 24 hours? Well, for most of us, probably not, because we have other responsibilities, and that's understandable. But nonetheless, let's be frequently taking this before the Lord. As God would enable you and I, let's be doing this, bringing this urgently before the Lord, these requests, not just for this weekend, but also the needs of our church, the needs of one another, and the work that God wants to accomplish here in our community over the coming months and years. So he was frequently taking this request before the Lord, time after time saying, you know, I know I'm speaking out of turn, Lord, but I want to say it again. I have more I want to share, more I want to ask you for. That was Abraham's desire and his approach. And it makes a difference with our Heavenly Father. I also want to notice that his prayer was not just free from sin, it was frequent, but it was also fervent. This is very simple, as we see in this passage, and picture in our minds how urgent he was in begging the Lord and asking the Lord, would you do this if this were the case, or if it was that, or if it was 20 or 10. He was very urgent in his prayer. He was very persistent, laboring for the souls of other people, some of them whom he probably didn't even know. But that's how he was praying, urgently, persistently. It took work. It was a labor to say this time after time, to keep at it, to be begging the Lord for these things of which he desired. Take your Bibles and turn over to James chapter 5, verse 16. It's that familiar verse of the effectual, fervent prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16. Here we go. I'm probably the last person here. Okay. James chapter 5, verse 16. We have there, in that passage, look at let's just start in verse 16. It's very interesting all that the Word of God says here. It says, confess your faults one to another. And we've already talked about that. That's making sin right. That's making sure our prayers are free from sin. That may need to happen here tonight during our invitation. I don't know. But let's confess our faults one to another. Let's pray one for another. We need to do that tonight. That ye may be healed. It says, then the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Notice again, it's a righteous man. We've already talked about that. But it says the effectual fervent prayer. Now, there's two English words that are used there, and they mean very much the same thing, and they're translated from one Greek word, meaning that it is an urgent prayer. It is a persistent prayer. It is a prayer that has energy behind it. There's work involved in this. Energy that is accomplishing work and labor. And so, it's the idea that you are going to pray for this thing and stick to the job until it is accomplished. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Once again, I don't understand all how prayer works. I need to be a student of prayer. And there's several books that I want to read on the issue of how it all works with the will of God and the sovereignty and the will of man and all that. But God's Word says, in a very simple form here, it avails much. Prayer that makes a difference. Do you believe it changes things? Faith Bible Church, do you believe? Oh, it sure does. Prayer makes a difference. And one of my favorite songs that we often sing in our services is Prayer Changes Things. Maybe we'll sing it this week. I don't know. But prayer does change things. It makes a difference. And here we are instructed that our prayers need to have some energy behind them. It needs to be a labor, something that you would be persistent at, something that you put your effort into. And here we see a man named Abraham who certainly had that persistence. What about you? As you pray over the next 24 hours, will you have that kind of an urgency? And really what I believe God is looking for is that we all have that urgency in a unified fashion, as a family together, as we are begging for God to do a mighty work this weekend. Will you join us in having that same kind of urgency? Our prayers must be free from sin. Our prayers need to be frequent. And our prayers need to be fervent. But then finally tonight, I want us to turn over to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And I want to put one final thing in here that the Lord has burdened me for with our efforts this weekend. And the meal coming up and getting the flyers out and all these things. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. It says, and when they were come to the multitude, verse 14, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devils, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, God mentions unbelief here. We have to have faith Faith Bible Church. We cannot be a people of unbelief in this high calling that God has assigned to us here in this community. Specifically this weekend, in getting these flyers out and getting people aware of what is taking place, this free meal on Saturday that we want so desperately them to come to so we can give them a word of hope. So we have to have belief in this whole thing, only as a grain of mustard seed. It doesn't take great faith that God is looking for in you and I, but I believe one thing He is looking for is unified faith. It's one thing if one individual or two or three have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, but I think God is looking for all of us to be unified in this effort. As a family, as a church, have that faith together and have the prayer together. But He mentions unbelief. That faith has to be here. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him, the Bible says there in Hebrews. But God mentions the faith here, the faith aspect, how important that is. But then verse 21 is what I want to zero in on. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. We've already talked about the prayer, and let's join them together with fasting now. I think this is something that we can really join together in over the next 24 hours, 36 hours, whatever it is, and seek the Lord together for this effort that we have in not only the flyers, but also then the meal. And so our prayers for them to be making a difference, I believe this is an aspect that God is looking for at times in our lives. Our prayers must be free from sin, frequent, fervent, but also with fasting. And so here God mentions fasting, and we'll not take the time to look at other passages in the Bible about fasting. We understand what it is. It's choosing to refrain from something that we would normally take a part in, so that we can focus more on the prayer and more on what we are bringing before the Lord. And so I want to encourage you, would you take that challenge from the Lord tonight? Would you say, you know what, this is important what's happening on Saturday. This is important what God has called our church to do in this community. It is a great work that needs to be done, and we are all a part of it. And here is a way that I can, in a special way, bring this request before the Lord. Would you consider that tonight? Over the next 24, 48 hours. Now, fasting as God would lead you. It doesn't have to be food necessarily. It could be something else. And sometimes there's health issues that we need to consider and those things. And I completely understand that. But often we see in the Word of God, it's talking about the food aspect there. Would you consider what the Lord may want you to do over the next 24, 36 hours in this particular area of praying with fasting? It's not something we brag about. It's not something that's too difficult, I believe. Maybe I just don't try hard enough or set quite the standard I should for myself. I don't know. But it's something that I believe God would want to bring before us here as we close this service. And so please consider that. Please consider that. This is an urgent work that God has called us to together for this weekend and these special meetings. God wants to do a work, not just in our hearts, but in our community as well, through these flyers and through the special meal on Saturday. And so let's be unified in our prayers, in our fasting, in our efforts. As God leads us, let's see the Lord do a mighty work amongst us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we're moving into our invitation time now, and this is a very critical time. This is a time, Lord, for decisions to be made, for steps to be taken, for You to be glorified in our response because You are worthy. And Lord, I pray that You would use this message in whatever way is needed, but I pray that the result as of tonight would be that our prayers, as many have been offered already over these things, but that our prayers moving forward would be more unified, more fervent, more frequent, certainly free from sin, Lord, and that we would be joining together, anticipating You to do a great work amongst us. Lord, we know you can. But tonight, we want to say you will, because we believe that you are powerful. And this is your will. And so, God, we beg for it, that you would do a mighty work amongst us, even this weekend. We pray in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed.